Yes, well, family squabbles over the inheritance from mum and dad are as old as humanity, aren't they? One day, Jesus came across this man who wanted him to intervene with his brother in a family dispute about inheritance. Jesus refused. He wanted nothing to do with deciding that sort of thing. And instead, he gave those two brothers a warning. In effect, he said, "Don't let your life be governed by your possessions." And in his usual way, he then went on to tell one of his parables. And as they often do, this one has a real sting in the tale. And we'll have a closer look at that in a moment. Now, during this year, since my husband John died, I've been sorting through our possessions. I've been trying to decide what to just give to the children now, what will be needed by me, and what will be needed by no one. No one. Now, it's not very hard, is it, to work out what has real value and what doesn't. So let's put a microscope on that parable of Jesus. He points out three different axioms about possessions. One, you can't take your goodies with you when you go. Two, you are not what you own. And three, the best bequests are not material. Now, of course, the parable concerns a farmer who's done very well financially. And now he's faced with yet another addition to his wealth, a bumper harvest. So he has a dilemma. How am I going to keep all this? Where will I store the crop so it's safe from the weather and thieves? So he cogitates for a while, and then he decides, well, he'll pull down the existing barns and he'll build great big new ones to store the extra grain. And as he muses on this, he imagines his satisfaction when it's all done. He'll be able to tell himself that he has enough material goods to last for years and years and years. He'll be able to sit back and relax and enjoy the good life. Now, you could say he's a jolly good farmer, somebody who deserves to enjoy the rewards of his work. But then comes that sting in the parable. God speaks to him, and God says that he's a fool. He tells this very satisfied man that he's a fool, because that very night he's going to die. Oh, all that building, all that sowing and reaping and preserving and guarding of possessions will be for nothing. He certainly won't benefit from it himself. And God's next question very squarely puts the focus on that reality. The things that you have already prepared, whose will they be? Someone else would enjoy the wealth that he thought was his. Now, it's obvious, isn't it, that this parable is not directed toward the poor. It's a dig from Jesus to the wealthy who do not share their wealth with the poverty-stricken people all around them. Jesus' final comment puts the whole thing into sharp focus. People who concentrate on building and safeguarding their treasures, he says, are actually poor in the eyes of God. And how much will their descendants treasure the possessions that they spent their lives accumulating? Well, everyone's heard of the kids who blow the hard-earned nest egg that mum and dad have left them on a trip around the world, or new car, or both, or whatever. And in fact, statistics on baby boomers, now they're the people born in the first two decades after World War II, so there's a few of them here, yeah. Okay. Statistics indicate that a huge amount of wealth is being passed on to them from the scrimpers and savers of the previous generation. Yeah. In America, that amount is estimated to be about $150 trillion. But how much do the baby boomer recipients value their inheritance? Well, according to researchers in the insurance industry, not a lot. The vast majority of baby boomers already have more than enough material goods, and most of them are simply not relying on inheriting property or money from mum and dad. But perhaps they do need to inherit and pass on something else. So let's go to the first of Jesus' three axioms about possessions. You can't take your goodies with you when you go. And there's no getting away from that one. Not one of those ancient pharaohs that have been discovered in their tombs got to use any of the fabulous wealth that was buried with them. No. So why store up treasure? Why be a hoarder? Now, of course, we've all heard stories about hoarders. And I must say, this is not about mum with her cupboard full of plastic food containers. You know, yeah. Or dad, with his collection of nails and screws. Yeah. Better keep it. Might come in handy one day. You know, all of that. No. Real hoarders build their lives around a compulsion. A compulsion to keep things. I knew once a single woman who lived in her family home all of her life, from childhood, while her siblings moved out and got married. When their parents died, this woman assumed the mantle of custodian of family memorabilia. She would preserve and pass on documents that would be kept in the family archives. Okay. But the problem was that from the time of her parents' death, she discarded absolutely nothing about the family that was either printed or written on paper. From letters to birthday and Christmas cards to invoices for repairs to the roof to printouts of emails to clippings from newspapers, all of it was kept in cupboards and then on tables and chairs and finally on the floor. She simply couldn't let it go. Who knew? It might be important to someone for something someday. It was her duty to stockpile it for the future. But sadly, when she died, her brother and his wife simply swept the lot into the recyclables. And the man in Jesus' story is not much different. In his case, he hoarded stockpiles of food, which actually brings me to Jesus' second axiom about possessions. You are not what you own. Okay, let me tell you another true story. This one makes me laugh every time I think about it. I once sat with two sisters and their brother while they told me an unfortunate tale. At the time, they were rolling around in their chairs laughing. They were laughing at themselves. When their mother died, they were soon up to their ears in sibling rivalry. Oh dear. Nothing had been decided about who was to get what from the parental home, and that's a warning in itself, I should say. And so it was pretty much a free-for-all, everybody trying to persuade the others that this or that should be theirs. Now, eventually they argued themselves to agreement about everything except a certain crystal flower vase with unusual carvings on it. It had belonged to their maternal grandmother, who'd passed it down to their mother. So they each decided that their mother would have wanted them to have it, and none of them would give way. Finally, their solicitor was consulted, and he wisely suggested a family counsellor. On the day of their appointment with the counsellor, the elder sister arrived carrying the vase in a cardboard box. For 2 hours, they each presented a case for taking custody of the vase. But when they left the counsellor, they were no further advanced. So, as they gathered on the footpath outside the counsellor's office, the elder sister suddenly declared, "Well, if I can't have it, no one will." And with that, she hurled it to the footpath, where it smashed into smithereens. Smithereens of crystal all over the place. There was deadly silence. Then the brother spoke up. "Thank goodness for that," he said. "I couldn't stand the thing." "Neither could I," said one of the sisters. And then the other sister agreed. "And neither could Mum." Ah. Well, of course, at that point, they just laughed and laughed and laughed at their own stupidity. And they were still laughing when they told me their story. But I couldn't help asking what they'd inherited from their mother that was worth keeping. And that was really easy. Ah. Her kindness, her generosity, her compassion for the disadvantaged. And that brings me to Jesus' final axiom about possessions. The best bequests are not material. The Reverend Roland Sawyer was an American clergyman who lived to be 96. He was ordained for about 70 years, but during that time he spent quite a few years as a politician in the state. Before he died, he had his own gravestone made. Yeah. And on it were these words: "He was a scholar. He was a statesman. He was a man of God." Well, that was his opinion anyway. Much more important than our own opinion about ourselves is what other people say about us. A few years ago, a newspaper printed the obituary of a certain Lawrence Brown. It was written by Lawrence's two sons, who were high achievers in business and in science. Their father had no academic qualifications and no great achievements in business. And yet, his obituary contained a magnificent tribute. The family had migrated from Britain post-World War II with only a few suitcases of clothes. Lawrence's wife developed cancer soon after their arrival and she died, leaving him to raise two small sons in a new country. But he was determined to give them a better life than his own, and so he often worked two shifts a day in labouring jobs, leaving the boys with caring neighbours. Now, in return for that, he worked in the neighbours' gardens, often at night. He had an arthritic condition, which gave him a lot of pain, but he worked on regardless. He went without new clothes for years and years to put his two sons through university. And on several occasions, he paid school fees for the children of unemployed neighbours. Lawrence's legacy certainly includes contributing to society through his sons, one a good businessman and the other a talented scientist. But both sons were inspired by their father's self-giving, and so they have not stockpiled their resources. They've used them to build community programs for children of low-income families. And so their inheritance from Lawrence lives on. So, what will our obituaries say about us? This is an age of anxiety. Anxiety about all kinds of things affecting our lives. But the issue underlying it all is the very future of our planet. Surely Earth was created out of love. Surely its beauty reflects the beauty of its creator. It deserves nothing less than the wholehearted love of its creatures. And surely one of the best ways, not the only way, but one of the best ways to be remembered is that each of us in our own way used our resources to contribute to healing and preserving the life of Earth, this beautiful blue island in space, teeming with life in all its glory. Through Jesus' parable, we know that that would be an obituary to live for. We know how much it would please the Holy One, the Creator of us all. Amen.